Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to this week's broadcast. We're going to be talking about what I think is just an incredibly important part, not only of grace, but just of the gospel in general. And it's about being who you want to be. Now, I'll tell you what, this is the time, again, contact everybody on Facebook, send this message to everybody you can. And, you know, maybe if you have an iGroup that's meeting there in your home, gather people around or be sure and get together later on this week and watch it with people that are really trying to develop their life. Because, you see, the ultimate goal for your destiny, the ultimate goal for what God wants to accomplish in your life, the ultimate goal for what you want to accomplish in your life is really when you are who you want to be, so that what you want to accomplish just naturally flows out of that. You see, God's far more interested in who you are than what you do, because if you are who you're supposed to be, you'll always do what you need to do. Hey, I'm Jim Richards, and I just want to encourage you to look at the special offer we have this month on my book and CD series, Grace, the Power to Change. Millions of people around the world are living their dream today because instead of just trying to set goals and accomplish goals, they discovered the secret of being who they really are in Jesus. You see, when you are who you really are, when you know how to yield to who you really are, you experience the grace of God that makes you able to live your destiny, to live your dreams. You know, at the heart of our walk with God, at the heart of our destiny, you know, the first and most important thing is to know God, to be intimately involved with God, to be experiencing Him on every level of our being. But you know, one of the most important things that has to happen in our life is we have to have an incredible sense of self-worth to fulfill our destiny, to walk through life effortlessly. And you see, self-worth comes because first and foremost, we are in a harmonious, loving relationship with our Creator, but secondly, because we are being and comfortable being who we really are in Jesus. You see, in Jesus, you've got a new identity. In Jesus, you've got the righteousness of God. In Jesus, you get to be the best version of you that you could ever be. And when you're comfortable with you, now, I'm not saying being comfortable with you being a jerk. I'm not saying being comfortable with you living in sin. You should not be comfortable living any kind of life that's less than what God's offered you and what God's called you to be. But you shouldn't condemn yourself. It's quite a paradox. And as many of you who have been listening to me for a long time know, you know, when you're dealing with issues of the heart, you always have to understand truth within the paradox. The truth is, I will never be comfortable yielding to sickness. I will never be comfortable yielding to poverty. I will never be comfortable yielding to anything that's less than what I have in Jesus and who I am in Jesus. But at the same time, I do still need to be able to love and accept myself, because if I don't accept myself, then basically I can never come out of my problems. I'm always going to have a detrimental effect on my heart. And we don't have time to go into all that right now. But the key is this. In Jesus, you are righteous. You have received the gift of righteousness. Now, that doesn't mean that you received a package. It doesn't mean that you received a position. It means that the righteousness of God, the righteous nature of God, has come inside you. And as nearly as I can understand from some of the greatest scholarly minds of the original language, is that righteousness, like I say, it's not just positional, it's not just a gift or a package that somebody gives you, it's a continuum of being and doing. In other words, it's the power and the life of righteousness that moves you to live as you should be. You see, if you're broke, if you're living in poverty, then righteousness would say you could be and should be, and if you were yielding to who you really are, you would come out of this poverty. Now, it doesn't make you a bad person, but I'm just saying that to be as you should be, to be as Jesus died to make you, then it should be your nature and your character to always move toward wholeness. You see, God's always leading you. He's our shepherd. He's always leading us away from lack, and He's always leading us into the fulfillment of all the promises. He's always leading us into who we really are in Jesus and what we really have in Jesus. So, and I'm talking to you today about being who you want to be. Now, when you start looking at developing character and integrity and these things in your life, you don't want to do this by trying to fix yourself. The goal here is to look at Jesus and the life that he lived. The goal here is to look at God's word and see what God's word says about the righteous. And really to set your heart on being as you should be. Set your heart on walking in love. To set your heart on being honest. To set your heart on treating people as you should treat them. But not going after it and works. And we're going to talk about that. But realizing that in truth, the quality of your life can never exceed your character. You know, I saw a Facebook post not too long ago where somebody thought they knew something about grace, and they said, thank God, I don't have to try to develop my character anymore. God's not interested in my character. I thought, what? What are you thinking? Every problem in our lives is a problem that comes because of the lack of or the absence of character in our lives. If we don't have a developed godly character, we will always be creating chaos. If we don't have a developed godly character, then we will make decisions that keep us in poverty or that keep us in shame or that keep us in bad relationships or keep us in conflict with people. You see, character is not works. Character is not legalism. Character is the fruit of the Spirit that grows in you because you yield to the Spirit of grace that's alive inside you. So, really, we should desire character. You know, favor, there's been a lot of teaching about favor, not so much in the last few years, but years ago, there's a lot of teaching about favor. And it was almost like people believed that favor was something that you got because you believed in favor, and you were going to use your faith to get favor. And it was almost like I can be a jerk, I can be dishonest, it doesn't matter how I treat people, God's going to give me favor. Let me tell you something. The favor of God is something that comes to us directly in relationship to how we manifest the character and nature of God. You know, when we show people love and mercy and kindness, we have incredible favor with those people. When we're honest and our dealings are fair and just, we have favor in the business community. You see, favor comes because we are walking in the character, the identity, the integrity that God has really given us. So I want you to realize that grace, and we mentioned this, grace for what? Grace for what purpose? Grace is not just something you have. Grace is not just divine favor where, okay, God likes me, okay? Grace is not just unmerited favor, okay? God treats me better than I deserve. Grace comes by unmerited favor, but grace is a power that works in you to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to produce the fruit of character, the fruit of godliness. I'll tell you, grace is incredibly essential for your character, for your destiny, if you want to live your destiny and not get into a situation where you're striving and straining all the time. You know, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle." I'll tell you, so many times I've thought about that myself. You know, I don't have any sense in myself to be worthy to be doing what I'm doing. It's not because I've lived a perfect life, and not because I've done everything right, and it's not even because I've done most of everything right. You know, the one thing I have done is I followed God, and when I would fall, I would just get up. Paul never looked at his life and said, "I've lived such a great life, that's what qualifies me to be called." You know, I remember one time years ago when I was doing my first crusade, I was doing television interviews, and there was a guy with me that was a great guy, great friend, and really a wonderful man, but he was very straight-laced. I wasn't. He looked like a preacher. I didn't. And so we were going around doing these television interviews, and one day we were sitting there, and he was just looking at me, and I'm like, what? What are you looking at? And he said, "You know, it really should be me." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "It should be me that God is using instead of you. Look at you." And, you know, best I remember my response was, "You're probably right. It should be you that God's using. But I'm the one that stood up and said, yes, whenever God put this in my heart." I said, "You know, maybe God put this in your heart in the past and you didn't say yes. God might have chosen you before he chose me." I didn't tell him that part, but I told a lot of other people that part. See, I want to tell you something. You know, God doesn't choose us because we're qualified. He qualifies us because we've said yes to what he's chosen for us to do. So Paul says, he said, "I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church." You know, Paul was a murderer. Paul had people killed. Paul was a legalistic snob. But listen to this. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, this is where we get into understanding. Again, back to this thing, for grace for a purpose. Paul is not saying, I just have unmerited favor. God just likes me and treats me good and loves me, and that's what the grace of God is. No. Grace is God's power, God's strength, God's capacity, God's ability that comes by unmerited favor that works in your heart, makes you able to live in the righteousness of Jesus, makes you able to live in the life that God has for you, makes you able to live in your destiny and to fulfill your calling, makes you able to be who really you want to be and who you should be in Jesus. So he says, listen, he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. But here's something that is just so interesting. He says, and his grace toward me was not in vain. Now that's, you know what? I want you to understand something. Whatever you're called to do, the grace of God is in you to fulfill that destiny. But let me tell you, don't try to fulfill somebody else's destiny. Don't try to be like anybody else. You may look at somebody else. You may see their strengths. You may see things that you admire about them. You may see things about them that inspire you and motivate you. You may learn things, how to do things. But at the end of the day, you need to be who you are in Jesus and fulfill your destiny the way God is not just leading you, but the way God is making you able. I'm convinced that so many people fail at their dreams. They fail at their calling. They fail at whatever, you know, at their relationships, because instead of being authentic and true to who they are, they try to get the grace to be like somebody else. God doesn't need your imitation of somebody else. There's a book, and I always said that a friend of mine wrote, and I always thought, man, I should have had this title. I wish I'd have come up with this. He says, you were born an original, don't die an imposter. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Most Christians die an imposter. And it's not enough that they die an imposter. They die an imposter that's unfulfilled because they never could be like this person they were trying to be like. Let me tell you something. Your marriage doesn't need to be like anybody else's marriage. How you and your husband, your wife, how you all work out your marriage, there's no stereotypical way husbands and wives are supposed to be. I see the goofy stuff that's taught in Christian counseling, and Christian, you know, family relations. It's like the man is supposed to be this, the wife is supposed to be this, the man is supposed to do this, the wife is supposed to... No. You come together and you discover your gifts and your strengths, and you become one unique person in Jesus, and you get the grace to have the kind of relationship that is best for you, that is true to who you are, that's true to your authenticity, that's true to what will really cause you to live life at its best. Don't try to be like anybody else. You can never get the grace to be an imposter. So Paul says, his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me or in me. Listen, you know, I almost hate to say what I'm about to say, because I don't mean to sound any kind of self-righteous in this. But, you know, for years, I would have people say, man, how do you do everything you do? I don't do as much stuff as I used to do, and I'm thankful that I don't. But, you know, there was a time when I was the president of a resident Bible college, and we had Bible school students here. We had a dormitory. We had Bible school students all over the world going by correspondence. At the same time, I was the director of a fellowship of ministers. And so I was ministering to ministers and having leadership conferences around the country. At the same time, I was pastoring a growing church that was actively involved in the community and reaching out. At the same time, I was writing books. At the same time, I was teaching seminars around the country. And there were a lot of other things in there that I was doing at the same time. A lot of that time, I was going to school, earning degrees. I've earned several degrees over the years while I was in full-time ministry, while I was raising my family. Now, all I could say when somebody said, how do you do what you do? All I could say was, you know what? It's just easy for me because I'm just doing what comes natural to me. Now, I wasn't trying to be like anybody else. I wasn't trying to have a ministry like anybody else. I was just getting up every morning, seeking God, and then following the Holy Spirit and following my heart, you know, following where my, because God speaks in your heart and you sense where God's taking you in your heart. And that's really all I did. But I'll tell you something really interesting. You know, I always knew that at some time we would change the ministry. I knew at some time I'd give up the local aspect of what I was doing. And, you know, I was always ready to do that whenever the time came. I felt like I needed to do that. I felt like I needed to grow in that. I felt like I needed to develop myself in that. I felt like I needed all those experiences that I had working hands on. By the way, in that same period of time, we had a substance abuse program and a clinic. And, you know, I worked 3 days a week in our health clinic. And all of these things I did, and I enjoyed them. And I didn't push myself. If I had to push myself, I'd have stopped doing them. And then one day, God put it in my heart to do something else. I want to tell you something. When I recognized that God was leading me to do something else, the grace to do all of those things was gone. Because you see, remember, you can only get the grace to do what's authentic for you. You can only get the grace to go where God is leading you to go. You can only get the grace to be who you really are, not your imitation of somebody else, not your religious idea of what you think you're supposed to do. And I'll tell you, it was like, you know, before I counseled with people, one day, you know, one afternoon a week, I did pastoral counseling. I'd counsel people. It didn't bother me. It didn't get on my nerves. I'd counsel pastors on the phone, you know, almost every day, and didn't bother me. People's problems didn't bother me. But I want to tell you something. Suddenly, the grace was gone, and I had no patience or tolerance, and all of those things suddenly felt like stress to me. You know why? Because God was leading me in another direction. And I made some decisions that people looked at me and said, man, that's a challenge. How are you doing it? You know, how are you going to run these risks? What are you going to do? How are you going to work this out? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know the answers to any of those questions. I just know I'm going to follow God. And I had the grace to do where God was leading me next. I'll tell you something. Wherever God is trying to take you, I want you to know that he's going to give you the grace to get there. Now listen, see, I believe in being unique. I believe in being that divine original. I believe that true success happens. You know, yes, we should learn all of what the Word of God teaches about character, about ethics, about managing ourselves. We should learn all of that. And I tell people this, and they don't get it, but I say, learn it and then forget it. And you say, what do you mean learn it then forget it? Learn all these principles. But then instead of getting up every single day and gritting your teeth and trying to push yourself hard enough to be able to do all this stuff, you get up every day and say, okay, you know, I've studied this stuff, I've learned this stuff, I've read this stuff, and Jesus, I'm just going to follow you today. And you'll find that everything you've ever learned will emerge when you need it. You'll find that all these skills and strengths and capacities will come forth when you need them to do whatever's in front of you to do, whatever you're putting your hand to do. And so you just get up and you follow God every day, and you will find that you will just stumble into an incredibly successful life and an incredibly successful ministry. You'll go where you're not smart enough to go. You'll have success that you couldn't plan. It'll look like you created strategies, but you didn't. You just got up every single day and followed God. And even when you made plans and tried to follow Him, you adjusted them continually because, you know, God was leading you to, you know, to do so. God was leading you to do specific things. You see, if you follow God in your heart, even though there may be similarities between what you do and what somebody else does, whether it's in the business, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in child raising, even though there's similarities between what you do and what somebody else does, God is always going to lead you from your heart in a way that's truly unique for you. You know, this is what I tell people about success in my book, Wired for Success, Programmed for Failure. I wrote that book because I realized the economy was changing, and I realized that people who had been incredibly successful were going to experience great financial disasters and failures. Because, see, when things are going good, all you got to do is kind of apply the general laws of success, and you can succeed. But I'll tell you something, when things are going bad and things are hard, you got to follow God in your heart into those things that are unique for you, but also Those things that where there's a unique opportunity for you. See, there's unique opportunities out there that you're not smart enough to find. You don't know enough people to find. You don't have enough connections to find. But you see, God knows what's going on everywhere, all at one time. God knows what's going on in you. He knows what gifting and skills. He knows what's at work in you. And he knows how to bring all of this out of you at the appropriate time so that what you do in life, what you do in ministry, what you do in marriage, what you do in business is uniquely suited for you. And because you're yielding to his ability, you're always in that place of rest. You're never in the place of striving. Man, thank God. You know, I mean, I work hard. Don't get me wrong. I work hard, but I enjoy what I do, and I'm never striving. There's not a thing that I do that I don't get some degree of fulfillment out of, and that keeps me from getting that place of striving. So God wants to lead you into this incredibly unique place to do incredibly unique things, to have a unique marriage, to raise your kids to fulfill their dreams. To have a business that really, really works, to have a ministry that fulfills your destiny. And he can only do that if you're staying true to who you really are in Jesus. You know, Ephesians 3:8, Paul says, to me, who am least of all the saints, or who is less than least of all the saints, this grace was given to me that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's incredible. See, Paul didn't just have a generalized ministry or generalized sense to his ministry. Paul had a realization very specifically of a unique destiny. And it was the fact that he was yielding to that unique destiny that caused him to experience the grace to do what nobody else could do. I want to tell you something. God needs your background. God needs your skill. God needs your personality. God needs all of these natural things to you, but he needs you yield it to his strength so that he can bring all of those things to bear to accomplish something incredible with your life. Now, I tell you, before I close, I've just got to be sure and tell you this. Most people who are gifted and talented all of their life, their gifts and skills and talents work against them and make them bitter. They look at other people and go, well, I'm more talented than him. How come I'm not succeeding? Or I could be able to. How come this isn't working for me? Most people's natural abilities work against them all of their life. And I'll tell you, I can remember a time in my life, you know, when I looked around and said, you know something? I got street smarts. I know people. I can size people up. I can figure things out. But it always works against me. Here's what I've discovered. I've discovered that when you settle into who you really are in Jesus, when you establish your heart and your true identity in Jesus, and the grace of God goes inside you, works inside you, and you find that place of rest, suddenly everything you've ever learned, all your skills, all your strengths start working for you instead of against you. But that can happen as long as you're trying to be somebody else. You know, I really feel like there's probably thousands of people watching that are just frustrated, and you know you should be succeeding beyond where you are. Stop trying to be somebody else. Connect with God in a way that you discover who you are in Jesus so that you become the best version of you that's possible and so that you live the unique life that God has for you. Listen, I want you to be sure and stick around. I got a mentoring moment where I'm going to share some practical applications about what you can do with this. You know, Jesus asked this question. He said, are you tired? Are you burnt out? Are you worn out on religion? He says, come to me, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to realize something. When they used the word yoke in Jesus' time, they were talking about his doctrine, his philosophy of ministry. He says, if you buy into what I believe, this is going to be easy and it's going to be light. Grace, the power to change. It's going to give you the resources, the tools, everything you need to know about how to access the grace of God. God's unlimited power that works in you, that establishes you in righteousness. God's unlimited power that works in you to manifest His miracles, His gifts, His healings. Everything that God has is a work of grace and faith. And grace, the power to change, is going to give you everything you need to be able to live the life of your dreams. You know, the Bible tells us that grace is something that works from our heart. That's the reason I created the Heart Physics Program. I realized that most people are trying to connect to God in their brain, not their heart. If you've never done heart physics, be sure and go to heartphysics.com and check it out and connect with Christ in your heart. And I'll tell you what, if you have done heart physics, you've done essential heart physics, and you want to develop yourself, you want to come to the place where no matter where you are in any situation, you can immediately connect to your heart, therefore connect to the grace of God, then be sure and be at our Advanced Heart Physics Weekend, October the 18th through the 20th, right here in Huntsville, Alabama. I'm going to tell you something. This is going to be for people who want to go beyond what you can get in a program and want to learn how to live out of their heart in a more deliberate way. Now, I want you to realize your desire to become an authentic person is going to have some struggle in it. And the Bible says you labor to enter into rest. And once you get into the place of rest, everything works for you by the grace of God like it's supposed to. The laboring is really where you're persuading your heart to believe the truth. You see, every part of you that's not authentic is some place where you have put on a mask. And you put on a mask of an idea of who you think you're supposed to be. Now, I encourage people to do this all the time. If you're going to fulfill a certain destiny, you need to know the character traits, not just the skills, the professional skills, but the character traits that are going to be essential to live in that destiny. And because you are righteous in Jesus, that means you can put on any aspect of righteousness that you need to live your calling, to live your purpose, to reach your destiny. And I call this writing a character sketch. And this is where you simply sit down and say, what are the characteristics I want to have or need to have or recognize in order to live my dream? Maybe I need honesty. Maybe I need more diligence. Maybe I need more energy. But you can make a list of all the character traits that you believe would be important to you fulfilling your dream and you living your destiny. And when you write those things down, I would really encourage you, if you can, find scriptures that go along with them. If you can't, then that's all right. But as long as they're based on you following Jesus. And then the Bible says you put off the old man. That's where you just put off any character trait. You just send away any trait that you don't want that contradicts these new traits that you want to put on. And then you begin to put on this new man, this new identity. This is who I am in Jesus. Father, I thank you that I am honest. I thank you that my character is impeccable. And you put on the man that you want to be to live your dream.